Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome one and all. Red Sox Review on WEEI once again. You know, I've been sitting here looking out at a dark Fenway Park the last three, four days, right? Three, four days of just absolute frustration for the Boston Red Sox. And, like, there's, you know, that same music plays every single time. Here we go, Red Sox Review, WEEI, exciting stuff. And I just look out on this ballpark right here, and you just continue to feel the same thing. And I keep hoping that at some point here, like, we're going to hit that and I'm going to be here and I'm going to say hello to you and we're going to be talking about something other than the way this team plays defense. But here we are. It's 9:56. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you. Welcome, Cooper Boardman, 617-779-7937. Nico Manganiello back inside the flagship, 3793937 on the text line, too. We're going to talk to you, of course, as we go along here tonight. We're going to hear from the manager, Alex Cora, in just a second, and I imagine he'll take the same exasperated tone that he took last night. It's what I'm going with, because that's about all I got for you right now over the course of the next hour tonight on Red Sox Review. And it's like, you know, you can sit here and we can talk about pitching, and Tanner Houck was not the best version of himself tonight. And I think the shots of the Nesson cameras, you know, had of him sitting on the bench after he came out of his start after giving up the home run that ended his day certainly told the story. The offense, this is not a lineup that is particularly potent on paper, and certainly was not on the field here tonight. Three hits. But you have 3 days against the Baltimore Orioles that are as difficult of a 70. And look, what happens in April doesn't tell the whole story. What you feel tonight, goodness willing, is not going to be the whole story. But 3 days in April, when they feel like they're telling a much greater story than just these 72 hours, is where it gets very difficult. And the word I used last night was systemic, right? When we are talking about a year and a half's worth of bad defense from this team, when you're talking about the fact that since the beginning of July of last year, only one team in baseball has more errors than the Boston Red Sox, and that's the Oakland A's, so like the in-baseball part of that sentence like doesn't even really apply. When we're talking about that, and we're talking about it over a very long period of time, when we're talking about it not being an issue until Trevor Story got hurt, now we know that Trevor Story will not be with us for the foreseeable future. Now it's just the thing that settles over everything, and it's the thing that made you feel frustrated over those 3 days against the Baltimore Orioles, and it's the thing that we talk about tonight. I will try to offer some semblance of a solution over the course of the next hour. We'll try. And, of course, we will talk to you along with Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox. 617-779-7937 on Red Sox Review. 617-779-7937. Text line at 37 93.7. We'll take a quick break. Come on back. Alex Cora is the next man that we hear from. We are back in a moment as we get it started for the next hour tonight on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Sox lose again tonight, 7-0 against the Angels. That's your headline. There's some sub-headlines, but not of them. No, it's just hard to find something positive, honestly. Sox lose their fourth in a row. They are now 7-7. They commit three errors, one in the first, one in the second, one in the third. They now lead Major League Baseball, and the Oakland A's have not yet concluded their game for the day, but I'm not exactly sure that's the team you want to be in the Kentucky Derby horse race with for errors in a season. Right now, the major league leaders in errors are the Boston Red Sox, and that is where we stand. Right here, right now, it is night where the Red Sox muster three total hits. Tanner Houck really, for the first time this year, struggled. The bullpen was excellent, as it has been for so much of the year. There are things about this team that are better than last year, and yet it is like trying to work on the first and second floors of the house when you don't have something for them to stand on. And that's kind of the deal right now when, you know, you're three batters into the game and it feels as though the hope is lost. That is the feeling, right? Single hit by pitch, air, blown fielder's choice, 1-0 game. You're down 1-0. The game could have ended right there because the Red Sox offensively couldn't find much against a great pitcher on the other side and Reed Detmers. And now here we are, right? 7-0, the final score. You're listening live right now from Fenway Park, Red Sox Review. Cooper Boardman with you. Nico Manganiello back inside the flagship studios, WEEI, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. All right, let's get quickly here to Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, and then we will get quickly to you right after that. But Alex Cora is speaking. We are listening. After a 7-0 loss against the Angels, here is the manager of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, we got two ground balls that we should turn into double plays. We didn't do it, and they scored three, put us in a bad spot.
Do you think it's somewhat mental at this point?
I don't believe so. I think the game he got to the ball, he threw the ball away, you know, and then Pablo took a step the wrong way, and the ball was to his left, you know. And the other one with Sedan, you know, I believe Tristan has to be, like, a little bit quicker to the middle of the diamond. And, you know, there's no play at the plate, so we got to knock it down. You know, that ball can't go by, you know. Those are the ones that really bother me, you know, like the physical ones, they're part of it, you know, like we will make mistakes, they will make errors. I made errors, you know, like I know how it works, you know, it's part of it, but the other ones are the ones that we have to eliminate, you know, the mental ones, you know, and we work so hard to get it right, and when we still gonna work hard to get it right, you know, we're not gonna stop, but at the end of the day, we have to do it at 7:05. That's the most important thing. It's hard to pitch, you know, when you get out of the jam, you know, you make a pitch, probably one of the best, if not the best player in baseball, we get a ground ball, double play, we don't turn it, then stuff like that is going to happen. Double plays are game changers, you know, momentum changers, you know. You turn them, you know, the momentum shifts to you, you don't turn them, the momentum stays with them, and that's what happened. I think he did a good job giving us 5 2/3, you know, he had two outs, a Trout gets a bloop single, and then a backup slider. It's a home run, but he was, you know, he gave us enough innings, you know, for us to be in a better place for tomorrow and the upcoming days. And sometimes it's going to happen like that. They put the ball in play, they got hits and all that, but I think he, first inning, put him in a bad spot.
Offensively, is it
better? You know, we put some good at-bats, I believe. Obviously, we didn't score runs, but no, he's a good pitcher. He is a good pitcher. Today, a little bit different than in Anaheim. He uses his changeup a little bit more. Obviously, pitching with the lead, a guy like that, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go deep into the game, and you just tip your hat to him.
Campbell,
have you shoulder injury? Yeah, it's just one of those that yesterday he felt it. He continued, you know, and that's why
I love the fact that they want to pose for us, but at the same time, you know, we have to take care of them, and they have to be very, you know, transparent and genuine with us, you know, where they at, you know. And my job as a manager is to avoid them to get hurt, right, and put them in spots where they're going to be successful. And he didn't feel great yesterday during that outing, but he grinded through it, which I appreciate. But at the same time, I told him, I say, hey, man, like, you got a career in front of you. We have to take care of you. And that's, you know, so now he's on the IL. We'll take care of him.
Not yet.
Yeah, we're 7-7. So, you know, just got to show up tomorrow and play. Like I told the guys when Bernie came in, you know, we got four more innings today. And the good thing about the big leagues, you know, there's a game tomorrow. You play 162 of them. Sometimes they're going to be ugly. Sometimes it's going to be great. But you have to show up tomorrow and try to win again. We'll probably stay away from him tomorrow. Yeah,
it's the right message. Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, 7-0 loss to the Angels here tonight at Fenway Park. Red Sox lose their fourth game in a row. The tenor and the message is right, right? Like, it's April 12th. No matter how I feel, no matter how close the sky feels to your head right now, the Red Sox are 500, 7-7. It's unfortunate that they have erased all of the positive work that they dug out for themselves on the West Coast, but they are 7-7. And now you go play ball, but man, it's just really hard. I just go back to the defense, and yeah, it's shortstop tonight, but it's also second base, and it's also you know, Tristan Casas, who's made gigantic strides in the way that he's played defense over the course of the last year, and it was his number one focus in the offseason, and I think largely speaking, especially for the quality of offensive player that he is. He is more than a net positive, obviously, for this Red Sox group. But he made an error tonight and then, you know, couldn't get in front of a ball that was thrown, you know, say it on Rafaela, you know, whatever that connection ends up being, no matter who you want to put that blame on. And obviously Rafaela is going to get the error on it. You know, it's all of it. And it's again and again. And It's you can sit here and you can say, you know, it's April 12th and it's early and they're working on it. And that's absolutely true. It was the number one focus in spring training, the way that they put, you know, competed against and with each other and enjoyed getting better defensively. I think you saw that. But no, Trevor Story's hurt. And there are a lot of questions around the diamond defensively based on what's happened over the course of the week. It is, you know, Alex Cora says it's not mental. Maybe doesn't not feel mental, if you know what I mean. But this is what happens, and it's what happens here tonight. Red Sox Review, live on WEEI, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line, too. And all right, we'll start the night on the phone lines, and we're going to New Hampshire, up to New Hampshire from Fenway Park. John, welcome to Red Sox Review. You're on the air.
Cooper, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. It's just a sad day in history that the city of Boston no longer has a Major League Baseball team. And so we've taken the team from last year and made it worse, and nothing exemplifies that better than that the fact that Bobby Dalbec is getting playing time. I mean, that guy looks like a high school player. I would love to hear someone at the press conference ask Alex Cora, hey, Alex, you know, what are we seeing in Bobby Dalbec this year? What are we expecting out of him? I would be surprised if he ever got a hit in the entire season. And I have a suggestion. I think we should bring the entire roster of the Worcester Red Sox, put them in Fenway Park, and the people taking Instagram photos in the tourist attraction that has become Fenway Park, they won't know the difference.
John, thanks. Strong, obviously. Look, I everything that you feel like is valid, and whether I agree with everything you said there, what the sentiment is right now around this team over these 4 days is reasonable, because there are a lot of things that feel very similar. And the defense is really the thing to me that feels similar. I think this is a worse offensive ball club than it was a year ago. I think it's a better pitching club than it was a year ago. I stand on the line you know, you say taking the team from last year and making it worse. This is a better pitching club than last year. I know, I know it's like a little bit of a difficult day to say that because Tanner Houck, you know, struggles, but he struggles for the first time this year. The bullpen behind him was very good. And if you go back to last night, outside of Isaiah Campbell in the 10th inning in an inning, you know, that you don't necessarily plan for, you know, who really did make a couple of, you know, decent pitches, and you know, Baltimore Orioles are one of the great teams. Baltimore Orioles are better than the Red Sox, right? And they're great players, put great swings on baseballs, and took it out of here. So I think that this team is built to win a little bit more than last year. I also recognize, John, like, that's not the highest bar sitting here. It's not really a bar much at all until this team, you know, plays above 500 baseball over the course of an extended period of time, which they obviously did not do last year, and now after tonight have not done over the first 14 games of this season. You know, on the Dahlbeck point, you know, the sentiment behind it notwithstanding, you know, the one thing that I will say is this is twofold. One, from Bobby's perspective, you know, he is the kind of hitter that is going to strike out a lot. He has struck out far too much, you know, nearing 50% over the course of last year and into this year. But he is also the kind of player that, you know, he is high damage, high strikeout. And I can't think of a worse role in the world for a player like that than being in the lineup and out of the lineup. Now, he's not going to be in the lineup every day. That's not what I'm advocating for at this juncture of things. I don't think that the Red Sox situation at this point warrants that, nor do I think that that's what's going to happen. But like the pinch hit thing, you know, the I'm in, I'm out for 3 days, I'm in, I'm down, I'm up. Like, I, you know, for a guy like the way that he plays the game, whether you think he plays the game well or not, and obviously over the course of the last year plus, he's really struggled at the major league level if you look at the results. This is not someone who I think in terms of his approach, that's a role that he should he's in a position to succeed. But you don't need me to tell you that because you've been watching it, right? That's the reality of it. The other part of this too is, you know, he was down. He was down at AAA. That was a decision that they had made. And, you know, Trevor Story gets hurt. Rafi Devers is playing through something right now. Well, he's not even playing through something right now. So he is hurt at this point. Romy Gonzalez, who's off to a wonderful start at AAA, who impacts the baseball, who has had, you know, who is a similar hitting profile, maybe not the raw power, but very good power to Bobby, comes up and he gets hurt. And so, you know, there are things about the roster construction that are reasonably frustrating. When you're in the kind of fourth guy in that role, third guy in that role, and that guy is not performing for you with consistency, I mean, you know, there aren't a lot of teams in baseball that are in that boat where they've got four guys that you can go to, you know, that's going to provide power off the bench and have a lot of success. And, well, it's not happening right now. All right, got to hit a quick break. Come on back. We got trending coming up in just a quick second. Red Sox Review live on WEEI, 617-779-7937. We got some more calls. We got some more texts. I'm going to get to them as soon as we get back from the break. But for now, we will hand it over to Nico for trending. We're back in a moment. It's Red Sox Review live on WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
And one of the great runs ever. This ball is pummeled to left field. High and deep, and Taylor Ward leaves Fenway with a two-run homer, and it's 7-0 Angels.
Boo indeed. Under Will Fleming on the call there. That was a home run that made it 6-0 when it landed, and it was the final blow in a 7-0 loss to the Angels here tonight at Fenway Park. On Red Sox Review, we continue. Cooper Boardman with you, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937 as well. And, like, it's just, I am, you know, we did this last night, right? And I feel like I, like, exercised our emotional demons in so many ways last night about you know, where this team is at defensively. And again, like, we can sit here and we can get into the hitting of this all, and you know, the lineup that goes out there tonight is not a lineup that you feel like is going to score a lot of runs, or at least track record wise has not scored a lot of runs over their major league careers. You know, the pitching is much better. The pitching is so much better. And I am willing to say that on a night where Tanner Houck gives up 7 runs, because he gives up 4 earned runs and his ERA is still 2.09 or something in that neighborhood. But if you are going to have a team built on pitching, if, you know, Craig Breslow and Andrew Bailey and everyone else in this organization are doing wonderful things in changing the pitching development of this organization, truly, you know, you talk to players and they believe in it. And you talk to players about their off seasons and what they did, and guys who signed with the Red Sox because of those two men. You talk to people around baseball who say, wow, look at what they're doing. Look at how they've changed the way that the pitching, you know, basically the structure of this organization is different. Look at what they are doing. It is a model. It is getting this into the 22nd century. But if we're going to live in that world, and we're going to live in a world where the Red Sox are throwing as many sinkers as they are, as many sliders as they are, and they're not throwing a lot of four-seam fastballs, not throwing a lot of fastballs in general, but they are top, you know, 11, 12, depending on the day, in sinker usage, where they're going to have the sixth highest ground ball rate in baseball at 46%. If that's going to be the case, someone needs to be consistently behind these guys making plays. And it's been a week's worth of not doing that since Trevor Story got hurt. I have some solutions. Solutions being a relative term, of course. Red Sox Review tonight. Cooper Boardman with you. Nico Manganiello back inside the flagship tonight. 617-779-7937. 617-7797-937. 37937 on the text line. We'll get into a little bit of the defense, and I got some, like, numbers and some things that I want to dig in on, and just, you know, like, what we do now, but I want to talk to you first. So we will start with Wally in Fall River. Wally, welcome once again to Red Sox Review.
What's up, Coop? I mean, I had the Red Sox on the radio for the whole game, but this game was basically, and I was watching SmackDown, The Rock's back in Hollywood. We didn't see Roman Reigns tonight, and the bloodline exploded. But as far as the Red Sox, this game was basically, it seemed that the first inning let the air out of the tire for this team. They had no offense. You have a Three Stooges infield, Molinari and Curley. But it's going to be to see what – we're only 14 games in this season. But we started off good. That road trip seems like a mirage now. Like they say, water finds its own level. But it's interesting. You don't have a shortstop. That, you know, we defended on Trevor Story, and he's already hurt. You never had a really good second baseman. It's been a musical chair. So you got two key positions where defense is a priority. And, you know, we just have a black hole in those two spots. It's going to be interesting to see as the season rolls on what they do. I mean, the bats, I don't know what they're going to do. It's a left-handed hitting team. Maybe one of the solutions is maybe we can get switched over to the AL Central, where we'll have a chance to stay out of last place. Or they should have kept the 204 Red Sox here Tuesday and put them out on the field. But it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with these problems, Coop.
No doubt. And, Wally, appreciate your call. Appreciate your thoughts. As always, yeah, it would be very nice to bring some of those 2004 guys back. You know, pull a right-hand hitter out of something and see what we could do with all of that. And, you know, man, I think... You know, there are a few things there, and your call has my mind in so many ways. Like, how much would you like to see Manny Ramirez in this lineup, right? You know, the road trip feeling like a mirage. I go back to, I think what they did on the pitching side is real. I think what that lineup could have been with Trevor Story is real, but like, that's not the world that we live in. And so, you know, to your point about, like, and you said they don't have a shortstop. You know, I'm going to take it, like, just, and I was just spending some time today looking through last year, not just the Red Sox, in all of baseball. And here are the three best defensive teams in baseball by most metrics. You know, errors, you know, is in fielding percentage, sure, if like that is the kind of thing that makes it easy for you. If you want to get a little bit more analytically sound and go to defensive war, or outs above average, or some of kind of the range metrics or whatever, most of those metrics in some way, shape, or form agree on the following. The Milwaukee Brewers, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Kansas City Royals were the three best defensive teams in baseball. Two of those three teams made the playoffs. The Royals did not, but they had you know, their best season in a long time, and have obviously set themselves up for long-term success. Brewers, Diamondbacks, Royals. The Brewers had Willy Adames. He was a top three defensive shortstop in baseball. The Kansas City Royals had Bobby Witt. He was a top four defensive player in baseball at the shortstop position. You kind of keep going through it. The Rockies, the Cubs are all on this list. The Rangers are on this list. Well, the Rockies have Ezekiel Tovar, who's the best defensive player that you've never heard of. He's an outstanding young shortstop. He is maybe the best defensive shortstop in baseball. Dansby Swanson is the Cubs shortstop on that list, right? And the Diamondbacks, who did not have an everyday shortstop, they split between Nick Ahmed and Perdomo. You know, they don't add up into, they're not individually extraordinary in terms of what they stack up defensively, you know, in terms of in terms of defensive war or stat like that, but shoot, you add those two guys together, they are collectively a top 5, 6, 7, 8, depending on the metric, shortstop in baseball. This is a very long-winded way, and many names and teams way, of saying that one of the great defining factors of good defensive baseball teams are good shortstops. And, you know, it's funny. It's like, that's numbers and words and research to support something that you already know by watching the Red Sox this year. Because when Trevor Story was in the lineup on a night-to-night basis, this was a much, much better defensive team. This was, you know, and look, there are teams in the top 10 of that that make up for it, right? Like, there are teams that are top 10 defensive teams in baseball last year that don't have unbelievable shortstops. I look at, you know, it's funny, like the Rangers, for example, Corey Seager, actually, the way he graded out, didn't have a great defensive season. He's been a good defensive shortstop in his career, but did not have a great defensive season. But they have Marcus Semien at second base, who is a top 2 or 3 defensive shortstop in baseball. Red Sox don't have a top 2 or 3 defensive second baseman in baseball to help out their shortstop, right? They don't really even have an everyday second baseman that plays good defense. The Mariners have J.P. Crawford at shortstop. They were a top 10 defensive team in baseball. The Mariners last year struggled at the shortstop position. Crawford was not very good in terms of the way that he graded out, but Eugenio Suarez at third base, right to the right, if your shortstop is facing the plate, right to that portion of the left side of the infield, you had a third baseman that was making plays and graded out very highly. The point is, either you have a great shortstop defensively, or you have guys around him that can carry the load, and the Red Sox have none of the above at the second base, shortstop, and third base position. Rafael Devers has taken significant strides in his defense. There's no doubt about it, but he's not going to carry a shortstop that struggles. You know, second base has been this kind of carousel over the course of the last 2 years, going back to Christian Arroyo. And the story of the shortstop position has existed over the course of the last week in a way that you and I, and we all know how that is. And good teams field the baseball. Like, good teams field the baseball. The best teams last year, you go through the playoff teams, they fielded the baseball for the most part, right? Why did the Diamondbacks get to the World Series? Why was it a surprise to everybody but Arizona? They fielded the baseball. And they did it all postseason long. Gabriel Moreno, their catcher, was a great defensive catcher. They got good corner outfield play as well on the defensive side of things. And the Red Sox, again, I'm going to sit here on April 12th, and I'm still going to have this conversation about how you can do that, how you can get to the postseason. Because on April 12th, you're 7-7, as much as this feels like it's nothing close to that. But you're just so far from that right now. You're so far from that. You have to do it every single night. Alex Cora said it. Like, you got to show up at 7:05. Easier said than done. But this team, what is happening right now cannot happen. And, you know, I was early in the season saying you cannot move Sadon Rafaela out of center field. That feels like a panic move to me. I'm starting to panic. And if that's, you know, he is at a certain point. And a great defensive center fielder is important. We have learned that as well over the last 3 years. It's very important. It is maybe number two, well, number three. Catcher is the most important on the field. The shortstop is probably number two. And the center fielder is number three. It's not a great choice. It's not. I don't like taking away a Gold Glove caliber center fielder and putting him at shortstop. But if you believe right here, right now, that Sadon Rafaela is the best shortstop that you have on your roster defensively, he's got to go there. He has to. And I know that's a lot to put on somebody in his first major league season. That's a lot to put on somebody who is struggling offensively as well. But, nobody wants to do this, but, like, you look at the Yankees, for example, and I just look around the division. We talked about the Blue Jays a second ago. I look at the Yankees, and they let Anthony Volpe play shortstop all of last year. He was a Gold Glover. He couldn't hit, but he was a Gold Glover. And he locked them down in that portion. And, you know, again, that's not somebody who was ever playing the outfield, but it's a similar deal where I think you have to live with whatever happens at the plate, even if that takes his mind off of it. Because right now, the way this team is built, defense has to be there because the pitching is too good. That's the thing. This team is not going to win scoring a million runs a night. I think you and I both know that. I think we've seen that over the course of the start of this year. I think you can pick up, again, the lineup card today and know that. And so if we're going to live in the world where the Red Sox yellow brick road to being not even a playoff team, but a better baseball team than the one that they've been over the last 4 days, it's defense, because the pitching is allowing balls to be put in play. When they're not getting swings and misses, they're getting ground balls. They are getting in so many ways the results that, you know, that you want them to get. And but it has to be perfect behind them for this to work. And it's been far from it. Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. Cooper Boardman with you live on WEEI. All right, we'll keep on going on the calls. Bobby is on the Cape, Barnstable. Benny, Bobby, we'll find out in a second. I think it's Benny. You are on the air. Welcome, no matter who you are, to Red Sox Review.
Hey, Cooper. Yeah, it's Benny. I watched the game. I listened to it. I watched some of it. It was sad and difficult to watch, but I just hear on the radio now, like, people talking about the team like they're a product and all this stuff, and I liked Alex Cora's tone, especially, you know, compared to seasons past where he was under a lot of pressure. It seemed like he was kind of absent sometimes during the games, and it's just nice that he doesn't, he's not under that, obviously. And I think if our team can get not under that too, you know, and maybe the fans who are more vocal were a bit more understanding of the situation, then I think the team would, and Boston in general, would feel like there's a little more heart and hope in our town or in New England than if we just rip on them and act like they're not people. I mean, these are, a lot of these people are, I'm 32, a lot of these people are 10 years, at least 5 years younger than me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Benny, I appreciate your call and I appreciate your tone as well. You know, I think your point is well taken in that, first of all, we're 14 games into this season and we'll see what happens. And people are frustrated because it's been years of frustration at this point, right? Like, you lived through 162 games of last year and now here we are. And so much of the last 4 days, you know, feels similar. But there are differences, and this is a very young group, right? Like, you pick up the lineup card tonight, and you have Seydon Rafaela, you know, who is, like, one of the, you know, most important pieces of this future, right? At 23 years old in, like, 6 months, you know, is a significant part of it. You have Emmanuel Valdez. You have Willier Abreu. You have Tristan Casas. They're just, and Jaren Duran. There's so many guys here that have played fewer than 3 years in the big leagues. And, you know, some of the anger about the construction of the roster, you know, can center on them. But I also do think that when you look at where this organization is right now versus where it was, you know, 5-6 months ago, it is in a better place. Whether people, you know, whether that's no consolation, because to lose hurts, right? Like, people care. And to lose hurts. But you look at where this organization is from a pitching perspective, where some of these young players are, the steps that they have taken, who Tristan Casas is in the middle of this lineup. He had some great plate appearances here tonight. That is where, and you know, to your sentiment about being compassionate and all of this, that is where that comes into play, where this is not a team you can close your eyes about and just say, like, ah, forget it. Because there are those positives, but they're, you know, but you are, what we are witnessing over the last 4 days are the growing pains of all of that, right? Like, imagine being, like, you were 20, you said you were 32, Benny, right? Like, people, you know, imagine being 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. You screwed up over and over and over again. And that's what's that, you know, in some ways, that's what we're seeing right now. And you'll come out the other side of it. But the question is how do you do that? And how does Alex Cora help these guys do that? How does, you know, the organization and the way that it's set up help these guys do that? And that will be the biggest question, perhaps, of 2024 for this Red Sox team. Cooper Boardman with your Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line 237-937. All right, we'll keep it on rolling. We got a few minutes here right before we got to hit a break. We're with you until 11, so no problem. We'll get to everybody. We're going to New Bedford. Nick in New Bedford, you are on the air. Welcome tonight to Red Sox Review.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening. What do you got?
Listen up. It's coaching, maybe. See, I see a team, and I've been listening to the Red Sox since Louis Tion used to play. I see a team, they're making a lot of mistakes, and they're not performing overall. So how can so many good ball players be making such a collectively bad effort? I think it's got to be the coaching. I think the coach needs to stop getting into the technicalities of why this one's not doing that one's not doing this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's starting to lighten a fire onto these guys' butts and make them work. Get them to do what they need to do. Then they'll start feeling better about themselves. You won't have to worry about the flipping technicalities.
Yeah, and Nick, I appreciate your call. And I understand. You know, I think here's the thing. Like, and you've been listening to Red Sox for a very long time. Obviously, you've been listening to Alex Cora now for a pretty good while now over the last few years. I do think his tone is different. Like, I think the way that, you know, what we heard earlier today is different. You know, last year it was, especially down the stretch of the season, it was kind of like, I don't, you know, it was almost like throw your hands up. Who knows what's going to happen? This year it has been, they have a process. And, like, you know, and again, I understand, like, we, right, 99.9% of people turn on the TV, turn on the radio at 7:04 p.m. We sit down and we watch a game, right? And we listen to the game. And that is That is the interaction with the Red Sox. The implication that the Red Sox did not do everything, you know, in their power to make this a better defensive team in spring training would be wrong. This was a group that spent hours and hours every single day, made it a significant part of what they do on the coaching side of things, on an organizational side of things. And to Alex Cora's point earlier, to my point right now to you, doesn't matter unless it shows up on the field. And you're looking tonight, you know, but they went and paid a guy to be a good defensive shortstop, and he got hurt. And he was a good defensive shortstop and has been in the moments that he's been in there. He stabilized their defense late in the year last year. He stabilized it over the course of the first week of the season. And to me, it is not about coaching. To me, it is about now finding an answer at shortstop, because the reality is, you know, okay, yes, the throw from Rafaela is an issue tonight that bounces away from Tristan Casas, you know, whoever you want to put that on, whatever. Casas not making that play, near the wall is frustrating. Sure, he will say, I need to make that play, but he's been a better defensive player. He has put in the work. But right now, the answer to this issue is about finding something stable at shortstop. And maybe that, you know, and again, like, you know, their job is to have more patience than us, right? Than you, than me. Maybe they believe that David Hamilton will turn it around. They believe in what he did in the minor leagues. Maybe they believe that Romy Gonzalez will be healthy and that he can play shortstop at that level. But it seems to me that the most obvious answer at some point here is getting Seydon Rafaela some time at shortstop. Just at some point. And it's a hard thing to do because he's not swinging the bat well. But it would be bold, but it would be not without warrant at this point. And so to me, it is about putting personnel in a place to be successful. You know, we've tried this over 4 days. You know, we'll probably try it again over the course of the next couple of days. But, you know, you're leaking water, right? I mean, like you said, you've been listening to the games for a long time. You know what this is all about. All right, Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. Got to take a quick break, come back. We'll get to the rest of your calls, the rest of your texts on the other side. Get you set up for tomorrow as well as we roll along tonight. It's Red Sox Review, and it's live on WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Late night. Well, Friday night, I don't know if that constitutes late night, 10:49, 10:50, East Coast, WEEI, Red Sox Review. Cooper Boardman with you. Kyle Manganiello back inside the flagship tonight, hanging good. 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. Sox lose again, 7-0. Sox lose again, fourth straight loss. Sox lose again, and just, this is like a personal note. This is not really your problem. This is certainly not the problem of the Boston Red Sox on the field. They have much more important things to do. But, like, talking about the defense is just so boring. I mean, I don't know if that's the kind of thing you can say, but, it's just one of those things where it's like you can sit here and you can look at it and you can say, do better. And the Red Sox can do all of these things in spring training and be competitive and be, and try to change the culture around it and all of this. But it's a 0-1 deal. Like, it is or it isn't. It is red light, green light. It is hot or cold. And it is like nothing in the middle. And we know where this has been over the last 4 days. And we know where it's been since Trevor Story got hurt. And it's just at some point, we will get a chance to talk about something else. I would love to sit here and talk about, you know, some of what the pitching has done. I think the bullpen is quietly like the best story in baseball from where it was to this year and what they've done and the guys that they've brought in. I mean, you know, you think about it tonight, what the Red Sox did out of the bullpen. You know, Brendan Berardino, who started at AAA, was awesome tonight against a lineup that was good against Tanner Houck. He goes inning in the third. Chase Anderson on the back of him, two scoreless. You know, yesterday, so many of these dudes, Justin Slayton is having an outstanding year for the Boston Red Sox. Joely Rodriguez, who has gotten his share of flack, you know, obviously is, you know, it was good yesterday. You know, I love Greg Weissert stuff, so on and so on. I could just name the whole bullpen and get excited about it. But it's hard to get there without getting to the guys behind him, because those guys have to make the plays for those guys, and didn't happen tonight. I'll remind you as well, you heard the highlight earlier on the home run for the Angels that broke the game open from Taylor Ward. That was from today's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan has got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself today and shop your local Nissan store in NissanUSA.com today. All right, we got a last couple seconds here, so if you got a call, you got something you want to say, let's do it. 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line, and we are going to Saugus. Joe, you are on the air. Welcome tonight to Red Sox Review.
Hey, Cooper. Thanks for taking my call. What about a Tony Kemp with an Orioles just designated for assignment to play short?
Yeah, it's a good question. Here, I will, I know he's like a little older, and like he was a good defensive shortstop at one point when he came up with the Astros. Let me kind of tell you how, like, his metrics don't grade out extraordinarily well. I recognize, too, like, it's not, you know, what's happening right now is not the full answer, you know, for what we want for this team. Here's my thing, and you tell me what you think. I'm just not sure, like, going out and getting like a Tony Kemp, Jose Iglesias thing, you know, a guy who can't hit or has not hit in many years is necessarily the answer, but I get where you're coming from. Oh, I think we lost them. You know, I get it. And Joe, thank you. You know, there, I hesitate to like put another guy in this mix that is not some kind of prospect, some guy in your organization that you know a lot about, or something else, because you know, like there are a million guys, right? Like Tony Kemp is a good example of it. You know, to be fair, Tony Kemp is really a second baseman. I mean, I go through, you know, what, and he's played the outfield as well. But you know, that's not a, like, I would need it to be Andrelton Simmons to go out and do it, right? Like somebody that you're going to go out and get, and Andrelton, I believe, is retired at this point, although who knows, he just keeps on kicking, right? Like Tony Kemp is not the answer for me, because he hasn't played shortstop since 2021, as I like take a glance at this for the first time. But somebody, Joe, to your point about like it being somebody else from outside the organization, I would put Sadon Rafael at shortstop before I did that, for example, and then figure out in the outfield and get Willier Abreu every day at bats, because you got to find out about these guys. All right, one last one. Bob, Indiana, you are on the air. You got about a minute here, but welcome to Red Sox Review.
Oh, thanks so much. I wanted to, before today, I thought that they should get a shortstop who just fields, even if he doesn't hit. I was hoping Romy Gonzalez might be the answer, because I think he's a good hitter, but then he gets hurt right away. But I was thinking maybe a shortstop from AAA, Jose Iglesias, for example, with Syracuse. Maybe they could try to swing something to get him. At least he'll feel the position.
Yeah, and Bob, thank you. And thanks for getting in under the wire there, depending on where you are in Indiana. It's either an hour back or here. But appreciate it. You know, for me, again, I just go back to, I'm not sure that the answer comes outside the organization right now, unless you're swinging for, like, a good major league player. Like, I'm just, you know, Jose Iglesias, you know, while he's a solid defensive player, is not an otherworldly defensive shortstop. And I get it, right? Like, if you got a fine defensive shortstop right now, that would be better than the current product on the field. But, you know, we're talking about somebody that is not, you know, Jose Iglesias is the name that always pops up, right? Because we know him, you know, from here, from a long time ago, but from here in Boston. You know, Jose Iglesias is not somebody who's played in the big league since 2022. And it, you know, and has bounced around. I think, again, I would put Sadon Rafael at shortstop before I did anything like that, or I would swing a bigger deal. But, you know, again, like, that's one of those things where, like, the deal would have been swung probably, you know, if it was there already. And maybe not even this week, just talking about in general. And I don't think they're willing to give up, you know, what it would take to get a quality shortstop. It's also April 12th. Who's trading you a quality shortstop on this particular day? But we'll see. And I'm very interested, I think, when we pick up the lineup card tomorrow, what it looks like, because that, I think, will inform a lot of the conversation. I'm back with you on Red Sox Review. We got you on the pregame as well, so we can talk about it and get into it. Got a right-hander on the mound, so it's an opportunity to see, you know, we'll see, because it would be David Hamilton's spot, and we'll find out kind of what that all looks like here tonight, really tomorrow. All right, that is it for us tonight. Thanks for all the calls, and thanks for your time. I hope to talk to you on a happier note tomorrow. We are with you. I am with you at 3:10 on the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show live from Fenway Park. 4:10 on the Game Time. Cooper Criswell is what we believe will be the starter for the Red Sox, off to a great start at AAA. 3:10 on that pregame show. That is it in full for tonight. Big thanks to Nico Manganiello back inside our flagship WEEI. For Doug Lane here, I'm Cooper Boardman saying so long. We'll talk to you soon. This has been Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.